for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2005 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Friday morning, November the 25th, 2005. The speaker of the morning is Stan Johnson.
How many are here today that weren't here last night? Let me just see your hand. All right, I'm going to briefly minister, just reveal a revelation God gave in this book, Lost Keys to the Kingdom. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth is what you see with your earth eyes. You can see a lion if you're Daniel. You can bind a lion's mouth. You can bind somebody that's trying to rape you. Whatever you bind on earth, you'll not rape me. I belong to the Lord. I bind you in the name of Jesus. So you're binding the person so the stuff in him can't destroy you. God knows how to spell. He said, bind the strong man, M-A-N. You can bind an animal. You can bind a dog. Now, don't go binding all the animals in your neighborhood. You're supposed to be witnessing to them. But you can bind things on earth. I shared last night how God told me to bind this boy's legs that were kicking the piano. As these spirits were manifesting. And when I said, I bind your legs, according to Matthew 18:18, his legs went together like an invisible cord went around him. He couldn't move them. I'd never seen anything like that. I had tried binding the devil, figure out who the strong man was, principality, power, this and that. But God says, bind the strong man, M-A-N. So when I bound the boy's hands and feet, God held his hands just like they were nailed to the floor and his feet. God would not let him move those things. And then the Lord says, you got the strong man bound, now spoil his house. Take those things out of him. So that thing right there can save your life. A few months ago, we heard on CNN where this man walks in this church, and he said, I'm going to kill everybody in here. And he takes a pistol and starts to do it. Boom, boom. This woman being interviewed, she said, I jumped under the pew, and I'm asking God why he is allowing this. Jesus said, I give you the keys to bind things on earth. All power and all authority has been given to me, and I give it to you. I give you authority. I give you power. Hallelujah. He said, all power has been given to me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth, and I give you power. Now, you got to know how to use it. Push that button. There you go. See there? He's learning how to use the word. Lord will teach our hands how to war and our fingers how to fight. But you're going to fight with the word of God. That's the only way you're going to overcome. Jesus, when they tempted him, he would pull that sword out and he'd say, yes, but it's also written. And he'd lay it on the devil. He'd tempt him again. He'd pull that sword out. Yes, but it's also written. The devil, after three temptations, he didn't like this kind of treatment. The Lord was throwing that sword in him, and that hurts darkness. Jesus used that to cast spirits out of people, the word. Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you something. Teach your children how to bind rapists, pedophiles. Teach your children how to bind humans so the things in them can't hurt you. It works. That works. This one right here is the book where I read it on four CDs. You can drive down the road and I'll read my book to you on four CDs. And this right here is called Live Deliverance. I have a website there, and people from all over go to my website, click on Live Deliverance, and it takes them to a list of over 500 bondages and spirits. And my pre-recorded voice, as they're clicking on their area of bondage, says, come out of there, you spirit of fear. God didn't give that to them. You're trespassing. Get out of their life. And that torment that's in there with that fear, you're leaving too. So that's a good deliverance CD, four of them. It's on the table back there. And One man in Thousand Oaks, California told me he does it at night while he's sleeping. He says, you know, I'm sleeping and I put one of those CDs on and he'll wake up refreshed. You know what would hinder us from being delivered? Doubt and unbelief. So if he's sleeping there, the things in him aren't. You know, that's an idea. I might try that on myself.
I'm still getting delivered.
Help us, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right. The Lord gave me this thing, the revelation of this about going up the mountain. He asked this question in Psalm 24. He said, who will ascend the mountain of the Lord? Now, here's the mountain of the Lord. You see that mountain? And there's a trail going up that mountain. There's a trail going up there. And there's the Holy of Holies. That's where Enoch got into. Didn't even die. He got in there. By faith, he got in there, it says. Now, I'm going to show you this journey. I'm going to illustrate it as we go along. The Baptists get this done right here. I was a Baptist for many years. Got born again at 13 years of age. And I camped out right there on that bottom of the mountain. I camped there till I was about 40 years old. Till God grew my leg out an inch in my insurance office and healed my back through my brother, Southern Baptist preacher, that got baptized in the Holy Ghost and found out there was a whole lot more. In other words, he was going up that mountain, and he came by to sort of help me along the way. And but John 3:16, you get born again. Now, won't you sit down there, and I'm going to let you do that at different stages. Now, let me show you how God showed me to illustrate a born-again experience. All right? Now, you can sit down till I need you. God says, I'll take a dead spirit out of you, and I'll put a new spirit in you. And then I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways. So let me illustrate what a dead spirit looks like. God says, your righteousness is like a filthy rag. Now, the best you can do standing before God without Christ and without His blood, you'd be dressed like this. Now, you're supposed to be dressed like this. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be dressed like this. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be dressed like that. And also, the bride has prepared herself. She needs to work on her hair a little bit. That's right. The bride has prepared herself and made herself ready. So there's things we need to do after getting born again. So here she is. That's the way you're supposed to be dressed instead of having filthy rags on. Now, the Lord goes on to say, and inside of you, He said, you look nice on the outside. You look like a white sepulcher, but inside of you, you're full of dead men's bones. Wow. Full of dead men's bones inside of a person? Woo. Look at there. That's what's on the inside of people that aren't born again. He said, you're full of dead men's bones and wickedness. So we can put a little wickedness in there too. So there you are. And that's why Jesus would walk up to people and he could see their condition. He said, you're poor. You're miserable. You're wretched and you're naked. Now, when you die, you're going to get out of your body like this. Of course, you got your wedding garment on. Look at that. That's a person not born again. You get out of your body like that, you'll be like the rich man that was in that place of captivity. Listen to what he said. You see that eye there? He's looking out of there. He could see Lazarus over there getting comforted. Here was old Lazarus over there getting comforted. You know, God was comforting him and fanning him and feeding him grapes and all that good stuff, you know. And here's this guy, couldn't even get a drop of water on his tongue. Listen to what he said when he woke up in that place.
Can you let me out of here?
Wanted to get out of hell.
Can you let me out of here?
Wanted to get free. Wanted some comfort.
Can you let
Wanted
me out
some
here?
Water on his tongue. Can't get people out of there.
Can you let me out of
But if we'll do our job, we can keep a lot of people from going there. You overcome the devil by testifying what the Lord has done for you. Jesus put it this way. He said, just go tell people what you know and what you've seen. You know, every one of us could spend probably several hours telling what we know and what we've seen. Faith comes by hearing. They'll argue Scripture with you, but they can't argue about your testimony. I've told probably thousands of people that the Lord in my office grew my leg out an inch. I watched my leg grow. I used to wear a lift in my shoe. I played professional baseball in the Yankees organization for 10 years with a short leg and never had seen God's power manifest. Never had I seen anybody healed. Never had I seen a miracle. In the Baptist church I went to, and somebody all of a sudden had said, "Oh, I was blind, but now I see." It would have scared the people to death. It would have scared them out of their wits. But yet they prayed for the sick all the time. My mother used to take me to prayer meeting Wednesday night in the Baptist church. Bless this one. Oh, this one. Bless this one. Never saw any result. Hallelujah. So that's the person that's not saved. They're not born again. And can you picture, here comes the bride. People not saved, here comes the bride. They're not going to make it. There's only one way to get there, and that's through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And without the remission of sins, you can't be forgiven. You can't get rid of your sins. You can't get justified before God. So there's the born-again experience right there. Hallelujah. God says, "I'll take a dead spirit out of you, and I'll put a new spirit in you." Now, I'm going to show you another example of what happens when you get born again. God takes, this is Christ, the many-membered body in the earth, made up of arms and legs and fingers and all this and all that. Now, this girl needs saving. Would you say that? So when you ask Christ to have mercy on you as a sinner, you don't get good enough. You can't change good enough to get saved. You come just the way you are. And the Holy Ghost takes you and baptizes you into Christ. "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." He's baptizing you. Come in, Lord, and save me. So He puts you in Christ. You're justified, just like you never sinned. But after He justifies you, there's a whole lot of cleaning up He wants to do on the inside of people. Paul put it this way. He said, "All these that have this hope in them, let them cleanse their spirit and their flesh from all filthiness." So there's filthiness in our spirit and our flesh. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So now we're justified. That's where the Baptists stay, right there. They camp out at that part of the mountain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's go to the next step. He says, the Pentecostals get this far, up the mountain. They get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Get their prayer language. Little stuff starts to happen to them supernaturally. And they think, "Well, I'm arrived. Pray for me. I'll make it through." Okay. Now, here's what they're experiencing. Jesus said, "I command you to go and wait on the Holy Spirit." Wasn't a suggestion. He never makes a suggestion. They're all commands. "I command you to go and wait until the promise of the Father comes to you." Now, we know John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came down on him like a dove. Came down on him like a dove and sat on it. And God had told John, "When you see my Spirit coming down on somebody and remaining on them, that's my sign to you, John, that you baptized my Son." And when John saw that, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, there He is! That's the one that's going to take away your sins. He's going to take away your sins if you repent, if you'll be sorry for Him." Now listen, God won't separate you from your friends. He'll separate you from your enemies. You make something an enemy, He'll separate you from it. But if you say, "Oh, me, I just don't want to give that up. Not ready for that." You'll keep it. If somebody was strong enough in God to get that out of you, it'd be right back in you. Because you don't hate it. You got to hate sin to go free from it. Hallelujah. So if you're willing to call sin, sin, and God says the law is good if you use it for the right purposes, He said, it shows you what sin is. It shows you your enemies. And I showed you all last night that sin is a presence. It's alive. Sin is a presence and it's alive. That thing wants to get inside of people. It's alive. That thing can control people if it gets in you. It's a spirit being, has personality, puts demands on you, that thing right there. Cain's sin is lying at your door, and he wants you. Now, you know what Jesus came to set us free from? Our sins. That's what He came to save us from, our sins. Those sins are the cause of the works of the flesh. They cause the works of the flesh. That thing got in Cain. God told him, He warned him. He said, "He's right there at your door." He got in Cain and did a work of the flesh called murder. And that stuff right there inside of people today is causing them to kill. Jesus said this. He said, "I've been anointed." He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He has anointed me to preach good news to the captives, opening the prison, so forth and so on. Now listen, Christians have got to have this experience to go anywhere. You will not go up that mountain unless you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, they were sitting there in that upper room and they heard something like a rushing mighty wind. Wow. Hey, Peter, you ain't asked what Jesus said He was going to send to us? Wow, I feel something like a wind in this place. I've got goosebumps on top of goosebumps. And He came in there and sat on top of each one of them's head like a tongue of fire. And they prophesied. They spake in tongues. Not any need for the gift of interpretation because everybody heard it in their own language. They came up there from all over the world. Hallelujah. Jesus said, He'll not only be with you, but He'll be in you. He'll be in you. And He'll talk to you. He'll show you things to come. Wow. Hallelujah. He'll lead you into all truth. He'll teach you all things. He'll comfort you. Pentecostals stop right there. They camp out right there. Hallelujah. Now, sanctification and obedience. That's where you present your body to God, a living sacrifice. So you'll know His good and acceptable and perfect will. If we don't yield our body to Him, you will never know His good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your whole life. And you'll be a frustrated Christian wanting to know God's will. You'll know His will as you yield to Him, surrendering your life that you might find His life. You'll know His will. Then, 1 John 1:9, God starts to show you things to set aside. Paul says, lay aside these sins. Put off these things. He names the whole list of them. Lay aside these sins that so easily beset you. Put off wrath and anger and all that kind of stuff. So one by one, you put these things off. One by one, you put them off. Now, every sin that you commit brings something inside of you. You know, God says, if you sow to your flesh, that's sinning, you will of your flesh reap corruption. So I'll just illustrate a couple of corruptions here. You see those little buggies there? That's called corruption. Got a personality? I mean, those things have feelings, all kind of stuff. So you commit certain things, you sow corruption. Maybe it's a death spirit. You sow to your flesh, you will of your flesh reap corruption. Deaf spirit. You know, Jesus cast blind and deaf spirits out. Dumb spirit. Could talk. He binds your tongue. You sow to your flesh, spirits of fear. Torment. If you're in that condition, you better not be going to a Baptist church. God bless the Baptist. They'll get you born again. But they'll leave you right there. Hallelujah. Somebody set me free of mine. Hallelujah. So when you commit sin, corruption comes into you. God told me one time I was in this bank-type dwelling up in Georgia somewhere. And I was in the restroom, and I was getting ready to go out there and teach them on deliverance and corruption. He said, use that roll of toilet paper to do it. So I teach Satan's kingdom with toilet paper. Spirit, wind, and breath. Look at that. And that stuff can get inside of you. We showed that tree last night that you better not be eating off of. So you can camp right there. 1 John 1:9, then the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're not really for you. They're to help you get people up the mountain, help you get them on the journey. And then right here, Mark 16, there's a man setting this butterfly loose. Freedom, liberty. Old Doc was setting some butterflies free this morning in here. Setting the captives free. You know, God says deliverance is the children's bread. Some people think that's for the devil's children. Well, those that think that, I want to go with you to some of these gay bars, and we're going to go in there and fulfill the Great Commission. We're going to go in and say, we're servants of the Most High God, and we're supposed to go casting devils out. Guess who would get cast out? So it's for the children. It's the children's bread, deliverance. It's for God's people. Hallelujah. So there's Adam and Eve. God told in Daniel, He said, many are going to be purified. Do you know that you can be purified spirit, soul, and body? There's a salvation in all three areas. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Cleanse your spirit and your flesh from all filthiness, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Let him who is righteous be more righteous. He who seeks after righteousness shall be filled with righteousness. Let him who is holy, I don't know what point you go from being righteous to holy, But God says, let him who is holy be more holy. Then he says, real challenge, be holy, even as I am holy. How many of you know he is holy, 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 holy? You got an hour or two? Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. That's a challenge to God's people. And that takes cleansing and deliverance. And then, here's the lamb. That's the full lamb. That's not a taste to him. See, some people say, well, I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I'm going to eat the lamb. Now listen, the scripture says there's one hope of glory. It's the lamb in you. Christ in you. So some people, I was 13 years old, went down front that day, the only one, about 400 Baptists. And I go down there and tell that preacher I want to be saved. I want to get my sins forgiven. I wanted Christ to come into my life. So this is what happened to me. Lord Jesus, save me from my sins. So I tasted to see that the Lord was good. Come in, Jesus. The Lord is good. You know what I did? Now that's what we can eat. That's the whole lamb. I had a born-again spirit, I had a new spirit, and I had the lamb in me. And I walked around for years saying, I got my name written in heaven. I've got Jesus inside of me. Why don't you get the rest of it in you? Why you want to stop eating the lamb? Hallelujah. So if you'll eat all that lamb, and I'm going to show you a little bit of that, you'll turn into a lamb. You'll be in that rest, that place of rest in God's mountain, and you'll be like a feather in His hand. If He wants you over here, He'll go, and you'll rise up with wings as eagles and just fly all those places God wants you to. And you'll land down there and maybe be an instrument to open Paul's eyes, get him filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you'll be like Philip going out there to minister to one man that changed a continent. Hallelujah. Thank you, pal. Don't camp out anywhere on that mountain. Don't camp out along the way. Now, Jesus made this statement. He said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, he walked around talking some pretty strong stuff. He might have said, what's your name? Huh? Don. Don, I'm the Lamb of God. And if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me. Don took off along with a bunch of other people. I mean, that's strong stuff. You know, Peter would have probably started on his ear. Peter would have tried to do it. And the disciples, Jesus turned and looked at them. Are you going to leave me too? They said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. But they were wise enough to ask how to eat his flesh and drink his blood. So he said, now look, the flesh would not profit you. It's the spirit that quickeneth. He said, my words, they are spirit. These words coming out of my mouth is spirit. Dead sermon. Hey, that spirit, that's my flesh and that's my blood right there in that word. That's my spirit. Let me get away from that thing. These words coming out of my mouth, they are spirit. You got to eat them. You got to work at it. It's not easy to eat a lamb. You can't be satisfied where you are. See, too many Christians are satisfied. I go to church every week, once a week. I don't know what the preacher preached on, but I heard it. I put a dollar in the plate. You better stop robbing God, too, because you're going to get a curse on you. Imagine robbing God. You come up to God and you say, stay him up, God. I'm robbing you. People come up to me and say, pray for my finances. I ask them if they tithe it. Well, no, I'm not tithing. I can't help you because God's cursed you with a curse. I mean, if God's cursed you with a curse, how in the world can I get that off of you if you're going to continue stealing from God? Now, if you'll repent and say, God, I'm sorry, I've been stealing and I'm going to stop it from this point on, then you got a fresh start with Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, He said, I'll take a dead spirit out of you and I'll put a new spirit in you. And then I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways. So, the Word of God is spirit. The Word of God is spirit. The Word of God is spirit. So you take your spirit and get the Word in you. You hide the Word in your heart so you won't sin against God. You better get that Word in your heart if you're getting deliverance. If you don't, something worse can come upon you. Jesus delivered a man from a terrible bondage and found him the next day in the temple and said, now you go and sin no more. That's a worse thing come upon you.
And that man was so bad off for 30-some years, he couldn't get in the water when the angel of the Lord would stir the water. Can you imagine something worse coming on him? That's why Jesus would talk to people, and then he'd tell them, now go and sin no more. I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Don't do that anymore. It's called repentance. So keep putting the word in your heart. You want to know when you're spirit-filled? When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you get word-filled. My words are spirit. My words are life. Hallelujah. When you get word-filled, you're spirit-filled.
Hallelujah.
You'll have His mind, too. You'll have the mind that was in God's Son. You'll have that mind I showed you last night that was in the Son of God. That mind in Him allowed Him to walk on water, multiply food, cast out devils, do all kind of things. And you can have that mind if you'll renew yours with the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let me give you another picture of this getting Christ in you. This girl right here, I'm just going to use her. I found this thing years ago, probably over 20 years. And, you know, she's lost one of her ponytail things here, and or bangs, or whatever you call that. But it still works. Now, there's one hope of glory. It's getting Christ on the inside of you. Christ in you is your hope. Can you imagine having that Christ that walked this earth inside of you walking the earth today? The same Christ, the Spirit of Christ that walked this earth doing all that stuff 2,000 years ago wants to be formed inside of people. Paul says, Galatians, little children, I travail in birth again with you till Christ be formed in you. Now, you've got Christ in you when you're born again. You've tasted Him. But how about getting Him formed in you, the fullness of it? So, how do you do that? Let me give you some visual pictures. Eat His flesh and drink His blood. The way you're going to do it. See, you don't pick and choose the word you're going to obey either. Love your neighbor. Eat that. Love my neighbor. Well, look at my neighbor. He throws his garbage over on my side of the fence. And you want me to love him? You want me formed inside of you? Love your neighbor. All right. I can't, Lord. I'm going to love my neighbor. Think I'll take him a pecan pie. Maybe he won't like it and he'll let me take it home. Neighbor, I just want to tell you I love you. Now, you know what you just did? You ate that word.
If you meant it.
Huh? If you what?
If you meant it.
If he meant it.
You know he meant it.
If you meant it.
If I meant it. If you meant it.
But you force yourself to obey God's word whether you feel like it's going to work or not. You just make yourself do it. You know, Paul put it this way. Mortify the deeds of your body. Treat it rough. Get up, you lazy thing. Go to church. Get up. Get up, go to church. Give God His 10%. You go over and love your neighbor. You treat your body rough with the word. You mortify the deeds of the body with the word. Make yourself obey God. Notice, I'm growing. You see, I got two things in me. What would happen if I keep on? Bless those that curse you. Now, some people say, I can't do that. God said, bless those that curse you. You have a chance to change. That word's going to make you change. You're going to turn into a lamb. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to turn into a lamb. Hallelujah. Man, I'm growing. Look at there. Christ is being formed in me. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Love my wife. She burns my eggs and toast, doesn't cook my bacon right. If she'd do better, I'd love her. You know, Richard Burton made this statement about love. He said, it's an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person for the rest of your life. That's a quote from Richard Burton. Unconditional commitment to an imperfect person for the rest of your life. A lot of wisdom in that. So, love your wife. Take her out to eat breakfast sometime. Buy her a cookbook, you know. Hallelujah. It's all kind of word you can eat and change. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How fast do you want Him in you? How fast do you want Him formed in you? Somebody once told me, I said, you ought to get some cotton candy. It'd be more fun.
Man, I'm getting Christ in me. Woo! Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Christ in you, your hope. Now I'm going to show you the conclusion of that. If you keep on eating. Keep on eating. So she has Christ into her life, but you don't see a lamb in there. You don't see a lamb in there, but you see like a new wineskin. There's some similarities, aren't there? So from glory to glory, He's going to change us into His image and likeness. So you start to disappear as you yield your life. He starts to appear. Look at that. Now, you, at this point of your walk with the Lord, you won't know whether you're going or coming. You won't know what's going on. But stay on the potter's wheel because He knows what He's doing.
Amen. Stay on the potter's.
God knows what He's doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has preordained you to be conformed into His image and likeness. That's His plan and purpose. You know, a lot of people preaching God's destiny for your life. How to be successful and have a wonderful destiny for your life. You know what the destiny for us is? To be changed into His image and likeness. To be changed to where He, working through your life, can cast out devils, can heal the sick, can raise the dead, do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So keep yielding to Him. I got His ear. Look at there. How about His other one? My goodness. So you keep working at it. You keep working at it. Oh, my goodness. Look here. Oh, my goodness. I'm getting His hand. Lay that on somebody that's sick. Hallelujah. Look at there. And first thing you know, people are going to start asking you questions and talking about you. They'll say, where did Glenn go? Where did Glenn go? I used to know Glenn, but I don't know him anymore. He's different. He's different. He's turned into something different. All he wants to do is clap his hands, praise the Lord, do all that kind of stuff. Now look at the conclusion of what the Apostle Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, Paul said, I'm still down in here, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Can you imagine that? Christ living in me, Paul said. In the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. Bring the blind on. Bring the deaf and dumb on. Bring the dead here. Listen, Hebrews 11 talks about women having their dead raised back to life again. That's the conclusion of the matter. Christ in you. Your hope of glory, your hope of raising the dead, your hope of healing the sick, your hope of multiplying food. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let me show you a picture of salvation. Now I showed this last night. Let me just give the new one. Now let me show you salvation. God says, this is eternal life. He gives a definition in John 17. He said, this is eternal life, that you might know God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. He calls that eternal life. That you might know God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus Christ said about Him? He said, He's my God and He's your God. Jesus said, He's my Father and He's your Father. The Godhead says God the Father is the head of Christ. Christ the head of man. Put man down under there and so forth. So, look at this. Paul says, don't you know your body is a temple of God? Don't you know your body is a temple of God? Now, this is a tough one. Don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that Christ is inside of you? I'm doing the best I can with this mic. That's what's inside of us. Our body is a temple of God. God's inside of each of us. The Holy Spirit's inside of us. Don't say you got it all when you get born again. Some people say, I got the Holy Ghost when I got born again. I illustrated last night what God showed me about that. It's like you walk out into the ocean representing the Spirit of God, and you take a teaspoon and dip down in the ocean and take it in. You got the ocean in you. But how many of you know you could get a lot more of that ocean in you? Hallelujah. So that's quite a mystery. Colossians talks about that mystery. Wouldn't it be something to have His arm established in you? He said, all things are possible with God. Nothing's too hard. My arm's not short.
I can do anything. I can give you, you know, he healed all those people coming out of Egypt. And I found something yesterday I really like. You know, he can fix your teeth. What do you think he did those people coming out of Egypt that had bad teeth? He says, all the gold and silver is mine. What do you think he made Eve's teeth look like when he made her? You think they look like this? Hi, Adam. You need a kiss, Adam. Listen, God can put a gold crown in your mouth. He can fix your teeth. He's doing stuff like that. He put a gold crown in my mouth supernaturally. He healed my wife's tooth. She lost a cavity. The thing came out. And my brother gave a word of knowledge to her after that filling came out. She went up front. 3 days later, that filling was in her mouth, but God didn't use gold. He used regular tooth in her. God's fixing people's teeth. He can do anything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let me wind this thing down here. But I want to show you how God's going to test His people and use those that are faithful. And He had me work this thing. God will check you out to see if you're faithful. So here, you're going to get born again. He's going to measure out salvation to you. And let's see. He's called on my son. So there, that's what he's got in him. I'm going to see if he'll obey me. Because I'm going to promote him if he obeys me. So he's going to check you out. Well, yeah, he's born again. He goes to church. He does pretty good. But I can't trust him out in this area because he might fall. I've got to see if he's going to be faithful. Now, to be a steward, it's required that one be faithful. So as you obey God, and he can trust you more, he'll let you get closer to the edge out there to where all the action is. This is where the big stuff can happen. Well, let's check him out with this much anointing. Yeah, he's obeying me. He's going to midweek service. Yeah, he's praying some. Yeah. I'm going to promote him. I'm going to give him some more of my anointing. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, my God will anoint you with the oil of joy above your fellows. Boy, I'm going to really promote him. He's hating iniquity and loving righteousness. So I'm going to bless him. Hallelujah. Let's see how he behaves now. My goodness, he's given to the poor. He's helping Lake Hamilton survive down there. You know, he's doing good. I can trust this guy. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to make a special vessel out of him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I know he'll stop when I tell him to stop. Jesus only did what his Father told him to do. I know that I can trust him. Look at that. I'm going to give him a full measure. I can trust him. I'm not going to worry about him going off the edge over here. I'm going to trust him. God's going to turn people loose soon that he can trust. I'm trusting. I'm not worried about it. I mean, he's going to stop when he needs to stop. When I tell him to stop, he's going to stop. He's going to stop. I'm not worried about him. Not worried about him. Let's back up there, Charlie. Let's see if this table right here will work. I'm trusting. I'm trusting. He's not going to mess up. I don't know what's wrong with that table. Huh? He stopped, didn't he? Let's see if this will work. I'm trusting. I'm trusting. I can trust him. See there? I'm trusting. Now that little lip on that thing is catching that thing. It goes right up there, right before falling and stops. God can trust him. God can trust him. Hallelujah. Special vessels in God's house. Vessel of honor, you're looking at it right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I watched Doc sweep the temple out this morning. You know, the Holy Ghost, he'll sweep the temple out. He'll sweep your house out. He was casting stuff out, and Jesus did it. The Holy Ghost sweeping people out. Look at that. Look at that. Y'all felt that too this morning. I watched God sweeping the temple out this morning. He was sweeping your temple out. That's the Holy Ghost working inside. Holy Ghost working in there. your temple can be swept and garnished. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to show you one quick thing and then I'm going to quit. Now, you better be using this thing right here, and it's in the Scriptures. God talks about putting on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. And I've got a lighter up here somewhere. Here it is. Now, listen, the Bible says the tongue is an unruly member full of deadly poison, and also the tongue is a fire. Do you know you can set people's lives on fire speaking bad stuff to them? Look here. I hate you. Look at that. Let my blonde-headed sister come up here. Come here. I'm going to set her on fire with my tongue. All right, here she is. I don't like you. Your hair, I don't even like. I like brunette. I like blonde. I mean, I like redhead. I set her on fire. I could get resentment in her with that fire. If she doesn't put that fire out, she's in trouble. And the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, above all that armor you put on, above all that stuff, the helmet, the breastplate, and this and that, he said, take the shield of faith that you might quench the fiery darts of the devil. So you people, you better be quenching these fiery darts, which are words that will hurt you and wound you and put resentment and bitterness and hate in you. So if I tell you I like redheads instead of blondes, how are you going to put that fire out? No, you can't do it that way. Where's that line? She cheated. You got to do it with the word. You got to use the word. I don't like you at all after doing that. So I set her on fire again. Now, what do you do to people that curse you? Just put the fire out. If you hadn't blessed me, that fire would have burned. And that root of bitterness that I showed last night would get inside of you and cause you trouble. Now, when people hurt you with words, now listen, the Word of God is like a fire, it's like a hammer. The devil has a hammer too. Satan's words hurt, they'll wound you, they'll break your heart. So I don't like you at all. I'd rather see baby blue eyes inside of you. Now, watch your heart break. You hear? Listen. I just broke her heart. Did you hear it break? And you smile too much. Boy, I am lighting her fuse. Guess what's going to happen by the end of the day? If she doesn't put that fire out, I started. It was my fault. I'm the one offending her. But God's given us a shield of faith that we can quench fiery darts with. You've got to quench words that aren't edifying to you. It's the devil inside of people trying to hurt you, trying to get a root of bitterness in you, trying to get anger and rage and hate and violence in you. So how are you going to deal with all that stuff? What do you tell you to do to your enemies? Love your enemies. I love you.
I love you.
Love me a little bit. Look what she just did. She put that thing out. Paul says, above all that armor, you better use it to quench. You can't stop them. You're going to hear the words. But you can quench the words by forgiving, blessing those that curse you, praying for those that despitefully use you, and all that kind of stuff. So remember, your shield of faith, didn't know it looked like this, the quencher part, did you? You thought it was some big old long thing here? Well, it's that plus this. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. God says that thing's full of deadly poison. Do you know what they do with deadly poison? They execute people with it. They execute people with deadly poison. And God says our tongue's full of it. God says our tongue is full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. I don't like your gray hair, man. That's deadly poison I put in him. That's deadly poison. Do you know what deadly poison does? It starts a slow death. It takes you a little while to die when they strap you to a gurney and put that stuff in you. You're killing yourselves and others when you do this to people. If you had faith, you wouldn't have to wear glasses, brother. That's deadly poison because that was not spoken in love. Besides, I wear glasses to read myself. Little deadly poison. The body of Christ is going around injecting people with deadly poison. That's what we're doing. And we're wondering why the body's sick. Let me get that man of God a little deadly poison. He's got a quencher. I'll guarantee you he'll quench that thing. Little hint. Little there. Deadly poison comes out of our tongue. And God says, if you can control that tongue, you can be a perfect man. Do it tonight. What? Oh, do it to my mic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I better quit. Amen. Why don't y'all have a drink? Jesus said, woman, if you knew what kind of water I had to drink, you'd ask me. And I'd give it to you. And it would quench your thirst. There's always more. When is the last time you asked God to fill you with living water? You ought to drink it every day. Every day. Say, God, I need to be filled with that living water that satisfies. It satisfies. It'd be like a river coming up out of your belly, like a spring. Springing up into everlasting life. So why don't we just ask God to just fill us right now? Y'all want a fresh filling of the Spirit? Don't camp out on the mountain. Go up the mountain. Go up the mountain. Don't stop till you get to the top. Be one of those few that will climb that mountain, the mountain of God. And you'll fly off of that mountain as an eagle. You'll fly off of that mountain as an eagle. And they just, Brother Johnson, years ago, he was here, and Art Johnson wasn't. And he gave a beautiful sermon on the eagle. Oh, man, it was powerful. I really loved it. And they just locked their wings, and they just soar in the currents. They just locked their wings and soar. Hallelujah. Is anybody here, you're not sure you're saved from your sins? You never asked Christ to come into your heart? Anybody here that needs to do that? Hallelujah. Let's pray that God fill us with His Spirit. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross. And I believe Your Father raised You back to life. And You're alive forevermore. Lord, I don't want to miss out on anything. You have given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And I want those things in my life. Lord, I want to be filled up with the river of life. God, fill me today with that living water that You told that woman at the well about. I want to be filled with living water. All right, just lift your hands up to God right now like you want Him to do it. And He uses me to impart an anointing in your hands. You know, God says in Habakkuk, He will hide His power and His lightning bolts in your hands. Y'all want His power and lightning bolts in your hands? Just say this. Say, God, hide Your power, Your lightning bolts in my hands, so that power and lightning bolts will come out of my hands into the lives of people. God, do it today. Let me feel that anointing going in my hands. Right now, receive it. All right, now some of you will feel a tingling in your hands. Some will feel a fire in there. Some will feel something heavy in one of your hands. Lord, put it in them. Come upon them, mighty God. Come upon them, mighty God. Come upon Your people, God. And Lord, fill them now with living water. God, fill them. Fill them, mighty God, with living water. Fill them, God, with living water. And Lord, You ascended up on high and You gave gifts to men. Lord, give them good gifts today, that they might minister those gifts to Your people. Do it, God. Do it, God. Do it, God. Do it, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, fill them, God. Fill them up, God. Just breathe in the Holy Ghost. Fill them, God. Lord, fill them. Fill them with living water. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. And I just say to you people, be filled with God's Spirit. Be filled with God's Holy Spirit. A fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to speak the words of Jesus to you. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He'll not find what I can give in the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your heart and your mind stayed on me. For I am that perfect peace. I am that Prince of Peace. I can keep your heart and keep your mind in the days of trouble. And you're living in those perilous days of trouble. And I'll keep those who keep their mind stayed on me. I'll keep them through anything. For if I'm for you, who can be against you? I'm your shield, I'm your fortress, I'm your high tower. I'm your ever-present help in time of trouble. Flee into that high tower. Flee into that place of safety. Dwell in that secret place. All your provisions are in that secret place. All that you need are in that secret place. For I am in that secret place, and I can supply all your needs. According to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus, I can supply them all. And if you'll follow me, I'll promise you this day, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the age. And if you follow me and trust me, surely goodness and mercy will follow you. All the days of your life, you can wake up every morning and say, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me today. All the days of my life, goodness and mercy is going to follow me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And God says He loves you so much. You're His sons and daughters. And He wants you to come up higher in Him. Come up higher, my mountain. The air's fresh higher up that mountain. You'll be refreshed if you get up there, that mountain. And you'll rise up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's ready to eat. You know, there was something said about a table set before us. Do you know that God sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies? And since there's no enemies in heaven, that's got to be men and women of God feeding us off of an earthly table. So he told me, he said, I choose foolish things to confound the wise. So you've seen some foolish things, but those who became childlike, God told me to tell people, unless you become like a little child, like little children, you'll not get the revelation that will carry you on into the things of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm interested in hearing my brother preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is at hand. Is that close to us? It's at hand. It's here. He said, the kingdom of heaven is among you. He said, the kingdom of God has come close unto you. Hallelujah. Father, bless the bread back there. Bless that food. Bless those people that prepared it. Bless this campground, God. Lord, God caused money to come into this place. God, there's a lot of things they could probably do with extra money, a lot of extra money. And Lord, we want your full will and purpose to be done in this place. Lord, you've called this brother, Pastor Glenn, to do this thing. You gave it to him, Lord, years ago, a vision. And God has been faithful with it. So Lord, increase in him in these later years. Moses didn't get started till he was 80. So God used him way above his hope and expectations. Caused wonderful things to happen through him and through this ministry and through these men and women of God that are helping here. God, sanctify our food, we pray. And all God's people said, amen, and let's eat. Hallelujah.
This is the end. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.